Chapter 12. When I woke in the morning, I went to the window and looked out. It had cleared, and there were no clouds on the mountains. Outside, under the window, were some carts and an old diligence, the wood of the roof cracked and split by the weather. It must have been left from the days before the motor buses. A goat hopped up on one of the carts and then to the roof of the diligence. He jerked his head at the other goats below, and when I waved at him, he bounded down. Bill was still sleeping, so I dressed, put on my shoes outside in the hall, and went downstairs. No one was stirring downstairs, so I unbolted the door and went out. It was cool outside in the early morning, and the sun had not yet dried the dew that had come when the wind died down. I hunted around in the shed behind the inn and found a sort of mattock, and went down toward the stream to try and dig some worms for bait. The stream was clear and shallow, but it did not look trouty. On the grassy bank where it was damp, I drove the mattock into the earth and loosened a chunk of sod. There were worms underneath. They slid out of sight as I lifted the sod, and I dug carefully and got a good many. Digging at the edge of the damp ground, I filled two empty tobacco tins with worms and sifted dirt onto them. The goats watched me dig. When I went back into the inn, the woman was down in the kitchen, and I asked her to get coffee for us and that we wanted a lunch. Bill was awake and sitting on the edge of the bed.
"I saw you out of the window," he said. "Didn't want to interrupt you. What were you doing? Burying your money? You lazy bum. Been working for the common good? Splendid. I want you to do that every morning."
"Come on," I said, "get up."
"What? Get up? I never get up."
He climbed into bed and pulled a sheet up to his chin.
"Try and argue me into getting up."
I went on looking for the tackle and putting it all together in the tackle bag.
"Aren't you interested?" Bill asked.
"I'm going down and eat."
"Eat? Why didn't you say eat? I thought you just wanted me to get up for fun." "Eat? Fine. Now you're reasonable. You go out and dig some more worms and I'll be right down."
"Oh, go to hell."
"Work for the good of all."
Bill stepped into his underclothes.
"Show irony and pity."
I started out of the room with the tackle bag, the nets, and the rod case.
"Hey, come back."
I put my head in the door.
"Aren't you going to show a little irony and pity?"
I thumbed my nose.
"That's not irony."
As I went downstairs, I heard Bill singing,
"Irony and pity when you're feeling, oh, give them irony and give them pity. Oh, give them irony when they're feeling, just a little irony, just a little pity."
He kept on singing until he came downstairs. I was reading a week-old Spanish paper.
"What's all this irony and pity?"
"What? Don't you know about irony and pity?"
"No. Who got it up?"
"Everybody. They're mad about it in New York. It's just like the Fratellinis used to be."
The girl came in with the coffee and buttered toast. Or rather, it was bread toasted and buttered.
"Ask her if she's got any jam," Bill said. "Be ironical with her."
"Have you got any jam?"
"That's not ironical. I wish I could talk Spanish."